What is happening? Here we go, guys. It's the first ever Headshot Crew Pod. Yeah, this is the official Headshot Crew podcast. If you're a member of the Headshot Crew, you know all about it. If you're not a member of the Headshot Crew and you love portrait photography, then you need to stop wasting your own time. You need to join the Headshot Crew. We are not only a coaching platform, but we are also a referral engine. So there's a find a photographer section of the website. So anybody in the world that searches for headshots, the SEO on the website is unbelievable. So generally, let's say if you search for headshots, Kentucky, probably something related to the Headshot Crew will show up. And if you're in Kentucky, you should be in that list. You should be in that photographer list. And if you're not, that means you're not a Headshot Crew member, which means you're not taking advantage and you are missing out on some money in your pocket. So stop doing that. You don't want to miss out on money. So if you're not a member of the Headshot Crew, you got to fix that. Join the crew and become a part of the largest community of headshot photographers in the world and get coached by Peter Hurley. He's the best in the world. I can say that because I'm not Peter. I'm sure Peter will tell you himself. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, I got a really cool guest for my debut episode, guys. I've got Tommy Collier. He is a mentor of the Headshot Crew. And not only is he a killer, just absolute killer headshot photographer, he is also a success coach. So he's a Proctor Gallagher certified instructor. So if you're interested in success, which you should be, you should get involved with Tommy. Anyway, here's the podcast. Enjoy it, guys.
All right, enough of that. Get over here. We're gonna start right now. 3, 2, 1.
All right, guys, here we go. First episode, we've got Mr. Tommy Collier. How are you, Tommy?
Hey, buddy, how are you? I'm good.
Good. You just came back from vacation, right?
I did.
Where'd you go?
Yeah, it was like a nice little family cruise vacation situation down to like Southern Caribbean, flew to Puerto Rico, and then went and visited all those little islands that all start with the word saint.
Oh, that's wonderful. That sounds wonderful. I'm guessing it's very sunny there.
It was very sunny. It was good. I have a nice little tan going that's unusual for me.
Okay. Because you're in Denver, right?
Denver, Colorado.
Okay. So I'm guessing the weather was pretty much opposite of what you get in Denver.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's like snowing right now.
Oh, it's snowing right now there. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Cool. So, Tommy, talk to me a little bit about, I'm Portuguese. You got to give me a little discount here. So you're a photographer, right? You're primarily a headshot photographer. Are you exclusively a headshot photographer?
Yeah, I refer to myself exclusively as a headshot photographer. I take other things besides headshots here and there, but not something that I am focused on or promoting or trying to do more of. I'm really focused on the headshot lane of things, and it's my passion. So I just like to stick with what I'm passionate about.
So what made you want to get started in photography in general?
Well, I picked up a camera in high school, you know, did that whole black and white film darkroom thing in high school, and that was kind of fun. But I kind of got into it more when I went to college. I went to the Art Institute of Colorado here in Denver. Actually, the film program. My degree is actually in video production, and just kind of got started with still photography along that, you know, when taking courses and classes in college, just as kind of part of the video curriculum that you had to do. And I just remembered this today, actually preparing for this talk, that I, when I graduated, from school, we had to do a, you know, like our final, like senior sort of thesis kind of film. and the actress that I cast to be in my like portfolio film, my short film, I, you know, just found her like on Craigslist or something, or through a, I don't know, so a casting website kind of thing. And I promised her that if she did my film for me, I would take her headshots. So I took my first headshot when I was in college, and oh my God, is it horrible.
Yeah, I guess we all have that when we look at older work and we just cringe.
Yeah.
That's a thing with us professional photographers. So you mentioned a video production thing. I've heard stories about Tommy, the Emmy nominated video guy. What's up with that?
Actually, it's technically Emmy award winning. we're gonna you know, keep it correct here.
Jesus. All right. Okay.
I'm actually a four-time Emmy award winner, and gosh, I'm looking at my wall here. I think I've been nominated like over a dozen times.
So you have Emmys sitting on your shelf?
I sure do. There are regional Emmys. I'm part of the Heartland, as it's called, regional Emmy chapter. And so they look just like primetime Emmys, but they're about a third the size, but they're still gold and shiny. So
there you go. It's still an Emmy. Doesn't matter. So what'd you win it for?
So I, in my sort of early career working for other people, I did a couple of separate stints in television news. So I worked for my local NBC affiliate here in Denver, 9 News KUSA, in the promotions department. And my job there was I created promotional commercials, basically TV commercials and spots for the station itself to promote our product, and then also for local advertisers who wanted to advertise on TV but didn't have the budget for a big commercial TV commercial. So I did both of those things. So my awards are all for, well, I guess they're mainly for station promotional items.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then somehow you transitioned from there to photography. How'd that happen?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was just telling this story yesterday to someone, actually. I made this decision when I was a senior in high school that I wanted to be a filmmaker. And so decided to go to, film school, went to the Art Institute here, kind of pursuing that path, and just kind of, got into like the digital video aspect of that industry. And I had a, decent amount of success, like won some awards and, enjoyed the work for the most part and got pretty good at it. And then round about, I'd say 3 years ago or so, kind of started to lose my passion for it, like lose my interest in it a little bit. And I kind of realized now, looking back at it, that I was, going off the decision that a stupid 18-year-old me had made. So although logic kind of dictated in every other way that that'd be a career I should stick with because I was already, waist deep in it, doing well in it. It wasn't fulfilling me, and it was kind of killing me in a lot of ways because it was just, it was just doing work for the paycheck it was getting me. There was no emotional investment or passion really left in most of the work I was doing. Yeah.
And so from there, you just decided to go into photography?
Yeah. So kind of at that point, so I had, I started my business. Well, where should I start? I started my business a while ago, like while I was still working for, in a full-time job for the TV station. And I started kind of freelancing sort of in every avenue of creativeness. So I was, doing video production and graphic design and motion graphics and animation, and then still photography because I had a still camera was something I just included in my services of things I was capable of doing. So it was kind of the smallest aspect of my business, but something I was just doing a little bit here and there as I started to build my business. And then I got started actually taking headshots when I worked for the TV station. So I I kind of got this like little bug under me that was like, you know what? I want to take the headshots for the news anchors like that work here. Like I want to do those photos. And I just kind of like persisted my way into like convincing them to let me shoot some of them. And it went well and kind of got into doing that. So when I left the station and kind of really started to pursue my business full time, I was offering headshots as part of that. But it was, again, probably the smallest aspect of my business. And then when I discovered Peter Hurley and the Headshot Crew around about 2016, everything started to change. And that's when I started to become aware of the fact that the work I was doing with the video and everything else I was trying to do, it was so scattered and doing it like that it wasn't fulfilling me. And I got really, really excited about headshots when I found Peter, as lots of us in the Headshot Crew tend to do.
That's actually a good segue. So I always like to ask people this, and it's the first time asking it on the podcast, so I think it's a good start, since it's the first episode. And so what was the thing when you found Peter? First of all, how did you find Peter?
I just happened across, I think it was just Headshot Crew, the website. It might have been the Squinch video or something on YouTube. I can't remember exactly. I wish I could remember, but I just stumbled across something somehow and ended up on the Headshot Crew website and, you know, watched, you know, like Peter's hello video and stuff, and got to looking at Peter's portfolio of images. And I was, at the time, I was really just like seeking out, trying to figure out what were the best people doing in the industry with headshots, because the look that I had established for myself at that point in time was just really not great in terms of what I was doing, only because I had been doing it. That's the only reason. And I was like, okay, what are the people that are actually making their living doing this full time? What does their stuff look like? So I went on this like quest to like revamp my whole style and portfolio and stuff. And that's when I found Peter. And of course, you know, anybody who's ever looked at Peter's work, you know how that goes.
Yeah. And
yeah.
So the question is, what was the haha moment? What made you go, yeah, I want to be coached by this guy. I want to be a part of this community and ascend to the top of the ranks.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I was struggling with at the time was my lighting and my retouching. And I looked at Peter's work and I saw this amazing, gorgeous, soft, flattering, impeccable, beautiful light. And I could tell like not a whole lot of retouching happening. And that's exactly what my work was lacking that I saw in Peter's work. So that really excited me, the idea of getting more tuned in with light and learning how to achieve a lot of the things in camera that I was having to make happen in Photoshop with bad lighting.
Hmm. And so you get into the crew and you made associate pretty fast too, didn't you?
Well, I think I joined the crew. It was January 2016. And yeah. I went associate right after the end of September.
Oh, that's fast.
Yeah.
Hey, it took me 3 years, so. Yeah. So, and then you went from associate to mentor. How long did it take you to do that?
Yeah, it was almost about a year later, February of last year. Peter came to Denver for an event that he was, you know, being hired to speak at and whatever. And that was like my first opportunity to actually meet him in person and whatever. And had kind of, you know, started chatting a little bit about that. I was like so nervous actually when that happened. And we just sort of hit it off and became fast friends. And while I was kind of helping him at that event a little bit. And at one point he just pulled me aside and said, hey, you need to be a mentor. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, classic Peter. There you go. You're obviously very involved with the crew. You run your own crew casts. For those of you who are not a member of the Headshot Crew, so crew casts are weekly live broadcasts that we do for crew members only. And there, so we have a crew cast with Peter on Tuesdays, and then we have, so that's all about headshots, and that's when we do the contests. And then on Wednesdays we do a portrait. We have a portrait track, so we do portraits, and then we do a success crew cast with Tommy. And then on Thursdays we do open mic, which is pretty much an open forum where people can ask questions and stuff. So ever since you became mentor and you got more involved I would say helping people out with their photography part of it, mm-hmm. how has that improved your own skills?
Oh my gosh. I mean, going from just doing to teaching and then seeing that reflect in my own work. I mean, it's been huge. Like, one of my favorite, people that I follow, his name's Bob Proctor, and he says that you can't explain something to anyone else until you can, or you don't fully understand something yourself until you can explain it to someone else so they understand it. And I've totally seen that reflect in my own work. As soon as you start helping people who are not even that far behind you as far as skill level, just being like one step ahead of them and helping them get to that next step, I mean, it just reflects so much over into my own work and helps me think about my work differently and improving things. And I've totally discovered my joy for teaching in this process.
Do you have any workshops that you teach yourself?
Nothing that's like formally organized. I've got a group of wingies, headshot crew wingies. Maybe you can talk about that. Sure. But my group of wingies, I like to pick up people that are in my market and work with people locally. And I do a little wingy meetup at my studio every so often to just come in and have people shoot and, you know, work hands-on, one-on-one, or group shooting sessions together to just, you know, practice all this stuff that Peter and the crew teaches.
That's cool. All right. Yeah, I know I think you have the most wingies that ever out of the entire wingman program. I think so. It used to be Maurice all the time. Now it's you. So you did a good segue there. So I want to start talking to you about Bob because.
Do you want to talk about what wingies are?
Sure. We can talk about wingies. So, for all crew members, I guess for non-crew members, you need this information. So if you've been with the crew for 90 days, you get the option of joining a wingman program, and pretty much you get coached by an associate or a mentor, and they help you improve your own stuff. So you pretty much get the knowledge. You get access to people who have done it and who have knowledge to help you out. And it's just a great program. And Tommy's got a lot of people. Not all associates. It's a voluntary position. So not all associates are a part of the program. But those who are a part of it are very helpful. And it's helped with the rate at which people get better. People just get better faster and faster and faster because of the program.
Yeah, it's really such a huge, huge thing that I think the crew is. That's one of several reasons why the crew is such a valuable place to be if you're trying to learn about this stuff.
Who was your wingman?
I never really had a formal wing. Well, I did have a wingman. It was Damien Battinelli.
Oh, there you go.
Who is not a headshot photographer. So we almost never talked about anything wingman related, but I've been working with Damien and his wife, Kara, at In Tandem Productions on my retouching basically since I joined the crew. So I needed more wingman therapy help in terms of retouching than anything else. So he got me through some kind of dark times in the beginning.
Oh, if you needed retouching help, you picked the right guy. Those guys are magicians at what they do.
Yeah, they really are. And I still work with them to this day. I just did a count the other day and they've retouched over 600 images for me over the past like year and a half.
Sheesh, that's
well,
intense.
2 years, 2.5 years almost. Yeah, I couldn't do it without them.
That's good. All right. I want to steer this into another segment of your life because I know you wear many hats, and one of them is actually a, would you call it a life coach?
I refer to myself as a success coach.
Success coach. There you go. Yeah. And that came from your involvement with Bob Proctor. How did that come about?
Yes, indeed. So, most people who are mildly familiar with Bob Proctor know him from the movie The Secret, which came out in 2006. It was kind of the first sort of mainstream, film or whatever piece of media that started talking about the path of personal development and potential. And so Bob was one of the speakers that spoke in The Secret. And I remember seeing The Secret when I was in college. One of my professors made us watch it one day. I was kind of like, oh, what's this? That sounds cool, but I don't know. So I remember seeing him in that. And then, so when I joined the crew and started hearing Peter talk about stuff on crew casts and wherever else, I started hearing this guy, Bob Proctor's name get mentioned again. And Peter talks about him because Peter worked with Bob, has been working with Bob for a lot of years now on his personal development and success, and attributes a lot of what he's been able to achieve in his life and business to the things that he learned from Bob Proctor. So, you know, when I started to get involved with the crew and knew I wanted to pursue and build my headshot business, I kind of decided, you know what, I'm going to listen to everything Peter says and do exactly what he says. And one of the things I heard him talk about a lot was getting into Bob Proctor stuff. So I kind of started to, you know, look around on YouTube a little bit and stuff and just sort of see who this guy Bob was. I actually couldn't stand him when I first started listening to him. I thought he was a little bit annoying and kind of like, who's this old dude talking about this stuff? I don't know. Kind of annoying. Now he's like my favorite person on earth and I almost can't fall asleep without listening to his voice. But anyway, so round about end of 2016, Peter went to one of Bob Proctor's events called The Paradigm Shift. It's a seminar he does a couple times a year. And Peter spoke on stage about his experience with Bob and about headshot photography and everything, and told the audience that they all need to go to headshotcrew.com and find a headshot crew photographer in their area and get a headshot because everyone needs a professional headshot. So one of the people in the audience is my coach. Her name is Melissa. She lives here in Denver, and she booked me for a headshot and came in and got talking to her and found out that she was a Bob Proctor, Proctor Gallagher consultant. And I was like, what's that? And she told me that she's a personal life coach who coaches her clients with Bob Proctor's material, amazing course called Thinking Into Results. And basically by the time we were done with her headshot session, she had kind of sold me on doing this program with her. It's a 6-month program with a decent financial commitment involved. And I had no idea how I was going to pay for it exactly. But I was right at the point in time where I was just like, okay, I just made associate. I'm loving this headshot work. I still have all this other work I'm trying to do, or that I'm residual video production and stuff, other work that's not fulfilling me that's on my plate. How do I get my business transitioned over to where I really want it to be, which is headshots? And she convinced me that this program was going to help me do that. So I enrolled with her and started working on this this Bob Proctor material with Thinking Into Results program at the beginning of last year in January. And my results just have astounded me ever since with this material, this knowledge that I've gained from this material. So I've gotten so passionate about it that I've decided to become a Proctor Gallagher consultant myself, which I now am, and I'm now coaching the same program that changed my life last year.
Oh, that's cool.
So cool.
So what's the difference between life coach and success coach?
Oh, you know, just words. It's just semantics. Lots of coaches out there that do lots of things. And, you know, I think it depends on, you know, what you're talking about. I tend to shy away from the life coach title, because just in my mind, when I hear life coach, I kind of think like uncredentialed therapist. I don't consider myself a therapist or any of the work I do with this therapy. It's more about getting focused on what you want and why you want it and how to get it. So it's more about fostering success than talking about wounds from the past and, you know, going on and on about that, like you kind of do in therapy sometimes. Gotcha. So anyway, life coach to me kind of sounds more like therapist, but that doesn't mean that at all. That's just, I just like the sound of success coach. Tells you in the name what I do.
Oh, I guess that, yeah, that makes sense. I like that. So I wanted to ask you, so as a success coach, TM, so you, as you're coaching people, you must start to find patterns in that people do, like patterns of I don't want to call them mistakes, but patterns of bad behavior, let's call it
self-limiting beliefs.
There you go.
And behavior. Yeah.
So what are some patterns that you think people have that deter them from reaching their infinite potential?
Yeah, it's so funny that you say that, because it's so true. Like, I mean, I'm sort of in the beginning phases of this coaching endeavor, but I've already started working with a lot of people and talking to a lot of people and hearing lots of stories from a lot of people about what's going on in their life and why they aren't getting what they're getting, or that they're not getting what they're getting. And I definitely see that there's really actually not that many differences between what's really going on with everybody that's, you know, seemingly struggling or whatever. I mean, everyone has different sets of specific circumstances, but the underlying problems are all very pretty much similar. So what are some of those?
Yeah.
Fundamentally, the path of personal development and realizing your own potential, it comes down to just every problem that exists in your life results in your mind. So it's all about getting to understand the mind fully and the way that it works. Like, the information that Bob Proctor teaches and that I coach is not taught in school. And I hope one day to be part of the movement that gets this into schools, into our school systems, because I think if we could teach this stuff to our kids, you know, we would have none of the problems in our world that we see today. But it's all about getting your mind right, getting your mindset on the path of getting focused on what you do want and leaning more positively rather than focusing on what you can't do or leaning more negatively. And it's such an easy thing to do, to get in your own way about what you're trying to achieve, because we're just not taught this stuff. You know, we're taught by our parents, who are taught by their parents, who are taught by their parents. And no one knew this. And like, everyone's doing the best that they can always, you know, no judgment or anything, but really we're just not given all of the information, or even the correct information, about the way that our mind works and the way that we get what we get in life.
Gotcha. So what about for so you must coach a lot of photographers, right?
I do. Yeah, mostly photographers at this point.
So since this is a photography podcast, I would like to ask you, as a just starting photographer, let's say I'm a just starting photographer, what would be your number one tip for me to keep in mind to run my business?
Turn yourself into a goal oriented machine. So that's the one of the biggest problems, Bob Proctor likes to say, is that it's not that we're incapable of achieving our goals, it's that most people never set them to begin with. So it's crucial that you get goals established for yourself, especially when you're starting, no matter what point you're at. If you're not working on goals, you're probably not moving very fast.
Gotcha. And when you say goals, you mean like shoot 3 people a week?
Yeah.
Stuff like that?
Yeah. Yeah, there's also a lot to be said for setting the proper goals. So the way that Bob Proctor teaches it, and I coach it, and the way Peter Hurley talks about it is all about the, Peter calls it the BHAGs, which is stands for the big, hairy, audacious goals. So it's about thinking large, thinking huge with your goals, which can be scary and maybe counterintuitive, but it's you're far more likely to succeed working on some large goals with some smaller, you know, progress tracking goals or PTAGs underneath. But really getting those large goals established for yourself, because the real truth is that in order to like get where you really want to go, you're going to have to get inspired. So if you're not setting a big fancy goal that you can get inspired about, if you can, if you're only setting goals about what you may have already been able to achieve or something that you could sort of plan your way to, or, you know, logically justify or whatever, it's not going to light the fire underneath you that it's going to take to get where you want to go. And also, let me say, there's nothing wrong with goal setting small, you know, or safely or whatever, but it's just going to take you that much longer, like a lot longer to get where you really want to go, as opposed to like what I have experienced, where when you set big goals, you can, it just like moves the whole thing so much faster. You can get to where you want to go like light years quicker, which is kind of, I think, what we're all about as impatient humans. We want to get there now. So got to start by establishing the goals up front, the correct, right goals, the big, huge BHAGs, or we call them in my program, Thinking of the Results, we call them C-type goals.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. How about, you know, you have your coaching business and you have your photography business. Is there any time where those two paths meet? Like, is there any parallel between the two?
Yeah, for sure. I was just thinking about this before we talked. And it's actually really cool. So, you know, what I'm passionate about as a photographer is my headshot work. So this kind of, I mean, it might translate into other areas of photography too, but for this, it really works for me, you know, because I'm all about, like, I'm in it for the people. I like working with people and creating relationships and fostering, you know, positivity and confidence building in all ways and everything that I do. So that really translates well between both fields. But specifically, where they cross over is, like, what we do as headshot photographers, we're being coaches behind the camera. You know, we're directing our subject to do the things that we see that they need to do to get themselves looking the best they can possibly look in their photos. And so we're kind of crafting this external image of our client to look the best it can look. So we're, I wrote it down, we're coaching our clients into getting a wonderful photo. We're helping them create a beautiful external image of their face. That the real magical part for me, sometimes, most of the time, the thing I'm looking for tends to foster a more positive internal self-image as a result. So the reason why I love this headshot work is because more often than not, I, you know, see my clients after their session, after their photos are finished, and they're just like overwhelmed with excitement and just like, oh my God, I look so good in this photo. Like they've never seen a better photo of themselves. And I see that that is a, it fosters some confidence that they carry on with them. And they look at that photo and they see the person they want to be every day. So it's sort of like working from the outside in versus when I work with my coaching clients, we're going the other direction. So I'm working to help my coaching clients create a wonderful mindset, help them create a beautiful internal image of self that fosters an improvement of the results that's going on externally.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So it's kind of like doing the same thing, but coming at it from two different angles. So it's kind of cool. And I see why I enjoy both of them.
Yeah. Cause you're basically doing the reverse process.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's cool though is, you know, why I'm getting so much more passionate about this coaching work is that when you go from the inside out, it has much more lasting, life-changing effects. So all of our, as I said before, the all of our, you know, seemingly you know, troubling circumstances or problems in front of us originate in the mind. So if you go to the mind first and get the mind right, everything else tends to change, you know? I mean, I still love being able to create beautiful images and my headshots for people that do stick with them, but I don't know that I'm like improving somebody's, you know, overall quality of life with my headshots. I mean, I hope so, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's a much more temporary thing.
Yeah. That's still really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was the, so every headshot photographer that I talk to is a little bit different, and everybody has one main thing. Everybody has one tool. It may be a thing that they say to their clients. It may be a way that they coach. So what's your quote unquote secret to get people to look good?
What's one secret? Wow, that's hard. How do I boil it down to one?
Well, it doesn't have to be one. Give me like, I don't know, okay. Give me a couple. It doesn't have
to be one. Well, I think the part of it that excites me the most, that I'm now sort of realizing that I have been doing actually sort of unconsciously even before I got into the, you know, Bob Proctor personal development stuff, is I have always had an innate understanding of something that we call the impression of increase. So it's a powerful concept for customer service, but also in working on your personal development stuff too. So I am, when my clients come into my studio, when I'm working with people, I am so 100% focused on them. It is not about me. It is all about them and me basically seeing the best, most positive things I can find about looking at them. You know, in Peter Hurley's TED talk, he talks about, you know, that every face has beauty in it. And I feel the same way. I've never had a person in front of my camera that I couldn't make look good, and I couldn't find admirable qualities about their physical appearance to focus on and to enhance and to draw attention to while diminishing maybe the perceived flaws. So kind of lost my train of thought, but,
it's all right.
What was your question again?
What's your
my trick? Oh yes.
Yeah. Your so tricks.
So, I had a Peter Hurley lighthouse moment maybe. So I would say that's my number one trick is being so 100% focused on my client and looking for their positive attributes and bringing those to the surface and finding the nuggets of self-confidence that may be hidden underneath a whole lot of self-doubt and bringing those to the surface. And I kind of tell, I don't really tell clients this, but I talk about this with other people when I'm talking about my work, that, and Peter Hurley talks about this too, like my real kind of approach to a session is I want to give somebody, you know, 30 minutes or an hour with me and make it the like most positive, affirming, uplifting experience that they may have had in a while, regardless of the camera in between. And then the photos are just like a physical, digital representation, capturing like the moments that like I created with them.
Huh. So you're saying that you're more focused on your subject than on yourself, but would you say that you find a lot of people that are doing the opposite, that are focusing on themselves? And if so, how can they change that?
Yeah, I think that's I'm not going to say mistake, but I think that's just where, I think that's where you start because, and when I say focused on yourself also means focused on things besides anything else besides the client in front of you. So if you are, as you are just building your skills, if you're having to be focused on your technical things like your lighting and your camera height and, you know, all of the things that go into making these beautiful photos, when you're focused on any of that stuff, you're not focused on your client. So, you know, I think it just is part of the process as you start learning and once you get confidence in all those areas and it becomes almost subconscious things where, you know, I'm not consciously really thinking about my light while I'm shooting. You know, I'm looking for, you know, ways to dial things in and improve them, but I'm not giving it a whole lot of conscious thought at this point, just because that just comes with practice and repetition of shooting over and over and over again. So I think it just goes along with the process of getting experienced with this. But then also in terms of, yeah, being focused on yourself. So if you are worried about what your client is thinking of you, or, you know, getting in any way in your own head about what's going on here, you're not focused on your client. And whether whether that's apparent, like out loud in the words you're saying or whatever, there's an energy that's present in all things. So your client's going to feel that from you. Like your client's going to be able to feel, maybe not articulate, but they will feel if you are more concerned about yourself than you are them. So I made a conscious effort a long time ago, I think, but even more so now that I work with all this Bob Proctor material, to keep it 100% or more, if possible, focused on the client and creating that environment, that experience for them.
And do you feel a difference in the attitude of the people you're photographing?
100%. You know, we all have off days, right? And There have been times where I've gotten in my own head about stuff, or, you know, get focused on a technical glitch or something, and those sessions don't go as well. And of course, I've never had a session so bad where somebody actually like brought it to my attention that, hey, this is about me or something, like, and most clients wouldn't think that way. But I've definitely seen the results in the photographs, you know, like I can tell, like, oh, I didn't get the expression quite there. You know, I was too focused on other things or something. So I think, yeah, it just happens.
Okay. What was the toughest hurdle you've ever had as a photographer? What was your biggest learning experience in your career so far?
Yeah, I think there's probably been several, but the one that pops to mind now is getting my mind right about my pricing and what I charge. That was sort of the major journey I was on all last year when I first started studying with Bob Proctor, was getting my mind right about my pricing. And, you know, really, you know, I've always like, you know, had a certain degree of confidence in the work that I do or whatever. Like I'm a perfectionist by nature. So, you know, I generally don't tend to put out work that I think sucks. So, but I think really there's a difference between that and then the next level of really like owning like the truth of the value of the service you provide, which for me comes so much more in the things that are not actually the photography side of things. They're more in the experience customer service side of things. But I think so, and that as it relates to my pricing, that was a kind of a big hurdle that I tackled last year and am succeeding with, you know, to a large degree.
And what would you say to people who are struggling with their pricing and with their sales, and they feel like they're lost and they feel like they can't sell enough?
Yeah. So it's so easy. It's so easy to look at those things and blame them on external forces. So your market, your, you know, whatever it is, you don't have a studio, you don't have a, you know, all these things or that, you know, seemingly are happening to you. And that is a complete, if you are taking that perspective, you are giving all of your own power away to change that stuff. It all roots from the mind. So if you can get your mind right about the pricing stuff, none of that stuff has to matter. But we make it, we're really good at making it matter in the photography world.
Yeah.
Not to say it isn't happening to a lot of people. And generally, when we look at things that are happening to a lot of people, we kind of accept that as truth. But that's like not what can you do? If you don't claim responsibility for these things that are happening, and realize that it's more of a mind game than anything, you have no power to change it. You're just going to be working on this like adversarial force that's, you know, seemingly holding yourself back, but it's all you.
Huh. Okay. So let's say that I'm in, let's find the most remote place we can find I don't know. It doesn't really matter. I'm in a very remote place and I want to start a headshot business, but I'm struggling with my sales and I come to you for help.
Yeah. Well, I just don't play the blame it on the market game because yeah, it's true. Like we need to pick an example. Like let's say if you're in, let's just say middle of nowhere, like Northern Canada, like where there aren't people around for hundreds or thousands of miles.
There you go.
And you decide you're going to start a headshot business up there. Not likely you're going to make it happen if you're relying on only your local market to get you business. But if you think about yourself as being a national or globally based photographer who travels for work, then you've just completely eliminated all of your local market issues.
Yeah, the world's a pretty big place.
Yeah, and you can get to anywhere in the world in, less than a day, half a day, whatever it is. So you're really limiting yourself if you're only relying on the market that you live in to make your living from. And there's no reason for you to be thinking that small.
Oh, that makes sense. So tip number one would be hone your craft, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's all about that. There's a cool thing that Bob Proctor talks about that's called the law of compensation. And that is something that kind of applies whether you're aware of it or not. But it's basically that your income will always be a direct reflection of the demand for what you do, your ability to do it, and the difficulty there is in replacing you. So the demand for headshot photography globally, worldwide, is vast, as Peter Hurley talks about. Like at no other time in the history of humanity have headshots been more in demand and growing. So the demand is there. So the next thing is your ability to do it. That's the part that you have the control over. That's the part you can really commit and work and do the work that's involved. It's not necessarily easy or convenient, but if you're passionate about it, you're willing and able to do what it takes to get yourself to the level where your work is going to be sought after and coveted. And the third thing is creating, it's the difficulty in replacing you. So if you take care of number two, number one and number three take care of themselves. All you need to do is focus on getting better at what you do.
Oh. So I guess working on your photography pretty much solves everything if you have the right mentality.
Yeah, working on your photography and expecting success, getting your mind right about the success. Because we all know, well, I do, so many photographers who are so, so talented, but that maybe don't make a living doing it. So, just being good at what you do is not quite enough. Like it's a definite prerequisite. But then if you are in your own way in your mind that stands in the way of you exchanging dollars for this fabulous service that you provide, then you're kind of going to harsh the flow there.
Yeah. But for instance, like I could work on my, I could, let's say I get a massive inheritance and I don't have to work. So I just work on my photography all day and then I want to make it into a business, but I expect success, but I just sit at my desk waiting for success to come knock on my door. That's never going to happen, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Well, yes. Because, well, here's the thing. So if you've ever seen the movie The Secret, which I love, not putting that down at all.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of stuff that, The Secret did amazing things for the world. Not even trying to deny that at all. But The Secret kind of left out a component. So we're talking about law of attraction in The Secret, which most people would probably tell you if you asked them about law of attraction, if they'd heard of it at all, they would tell you what The Secret kind of said, which is focus on what you want or ask for what you want and you'll get it. But that's not actually true. The law of attraction responds to your expectation, not just what you idly wish for. So if you are, so you could sit around all day and you could spend years fine tuning your photography and making it having this most amazing portfolio. But if you are not expecting to make money with that, like if you want to make money in that, but you're not expecting to do so, that's what law of attraction is really responding to. So you have to get your mind right. Just the way that you create with your camera and the way that you create your photographs, you also have to create the sale of those photographs using the same energy, the same creative energy that you use to create your art with. It's the same creative energy that you use to create the sale with.
And I think it also goes hand in hand as you get better, since especially as a portrait photographer, like you're going to have to shoot people, and those people will have access to those images. Even if you shoot for free, those people will have access to the images and they will publish them. And as you get better and better and better, more people will start to notice you and more people will want to work with you, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. But that's still kind of a passive approach. So when you're out to like achieve goals for yourself, like these big goals, there is no shortage of action that must be taken in order to get that stuff really going the way you want it, at the speed you may want it. Now, if you're cool with it taking you an entire lifetime to build a following, like that's fine, but like that's not what I want. You know, I want this as fast as I can possibly get it. So there are lots and lots and lots of action, lots of action that needs to happen in order to get you to that point. You know, you have to market yourself. You have to meet people. You have to get people talking about you. You got to build your website. You got to, you know, get your studio. You got like, there's all this stuff that you got to do. So, which all of that stuff that you have to do can really be way, way, way harder and more difficult and slower if your mind is not right about it. So getting your mind right about all of this stuff is what really gets things moving well and moving fast.
How important is networking for you?
I mean, it's everything. I don't do a whole lot of other real marketing. I mean, I do SEO and stuff like that, but I don't pay for a lot of advertising. It's all like my business I've completely developed over time. Like I completely attribute it to my word of mouth sort of networking work that I've put in over the years.
What's your social media of choice? I know a lot of people like Instagram.
I hate them all.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
If it wasn't for business, I would not be on social media. But I guess if I had to choose, I'm on Facebook the most because I, you know, use it as a tool to conduct business. I coach through there and keep in touch with my wingies through there and things like that. But my favorite one, I guess, would be Instagram just because it's so simple and about the images, but it's probably the one I'm on the least.
Yeah, but you post there every day. Is it just an automated thing?
I do. Yeah, I have a automated sort of posting reminder thing set up to post every day, but I don't look around Instagram much. I'm not a big fan of scrolling in any social media context. I just find it to be kind of unproductive most of the time.
Yeah, that I've heard Peter say that on multiple occasions that we need to be content creators, not content seekers, like
consumers. Yeah.
Yeah, consumers. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's valuable to consume enough content so you know what's going on and how to be like relevant.
Yeah.
But don't make a career out of scrolling through Facebook all day. And I know how many of you out there are like, oh yeah, that's me.
I'm a little guilty of it. Yeah. I'm a little guilty. I love to devour content at an accelerated rate.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think it's required. I think you have to do that. But, you know, keep it in its proper place.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So one of the things that I've actually done recently, and this actually ties with the whole goal thing and getting ready to achieve the goal is I do have a very procrastinating personality. I love to, like I said, I love to devour content. So what I did was to force myself to focus on what I want. So I have, do you know what Reddit is?
Yeah.
Okay. So I've got a ton of subreddits that I was subscribed to. And what I decided to do was switch all my subscriptions to things that are related to my goals, be it our photography, our business, our personal branding, our marketing, all that stuff. Yeah. So even while I'm still procrastinating and consuming content, I'm still grabbing content that I know will be beneficial for me and for my goals.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. I'm so glad you said that because we spend so much unproductive time looking at stuff online that does not even pertain to our goals at all. So if you will make a subtle shift in the way that you, you know, manage your activity on social media and just put your focus on looking at the content that is in alignment and harmony with the goal achieving that you're doing, then it becomes a little bit more productive and more goal achieving. I still don't think you should spend an hour a day like scrolling through photography forums or whatever. I mean, an hour a day is fine, but not 4 hours a day. If you just kind of limit your, you know, put some blinders on and just get focused on, you know, unfollow the stuff that, you know, is just noise in your head. For God's sake, turn down the news. And just get focused on the things that help you get more closer to your goals faster.
All right. What's your opinion on like groups like BNI and stuff?
BNI. Is that the business networking people?
Yes.
I actually don't know much about it, but I've heard some good stuff.
Okay. So you're not a part of any of that. So when you say you do a lot of networking, what sort of networking activities do you engage in?
Yeah, so I'm actually not as good on the networking currently as I used to be, something I have on my list of progress tracking goals to get back into this year, because I'm not even hardly networking anymore and my phone still rings and I'm still booked solid. So imagine what I could do if I actually got out there again. So what I did when I first started my business, I got really into, Denver is a very philanthropic town. Lots and lots and lots of charity fundraising kind of events going on here all the time. And one of my best friends is someone who likes to go to charity events and fundraisers and things. And I just got in the habit of going with her to all the events that she would go to. So I just met a whole lot of people, over the course of, about 3 or 4 years that I did that really, really heavily, and started to just, you know, develop some friendships and personal relationships with all these people that I would see over and over again at these different events. And so that's just, that's kind of where I laid my base. And I'm still kind of riding that wave today, I think.
Yeah, I think a lot of people still don't get that the most powerful like marketing tool you can have is shaking somebody's hand. Nothing substitutes meeting somebody in person.
Right. Yeah, it's not like I, you know, would go to networking events and like just be like, hey, guess what? I'm a photographer and you can hire me here. It's not about that at all. I hardly ever talked about what I did in the beginning, but I just made personal connections. And that's really what it comes down to at the end of the day. Like, yeah, I stand behind my work and the product I create. I think it's quality and it's awesome. But at the end of the day, I think I would still have all these clients that want to work with me, even if my product, my photos were not that good, because they want to work with me. They like me, you know, and it's just a bonus that the work happens to be great too.
So you don't go to networking events to get clients. You go there to develop relationships.
I go there to meet people. Yeah, absolutely. 100,000%.
100,000 there. Jesus. Yeah, all right.
That's the name of the game.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. And it's so good, you know, plus, you know, I think part of doing this work as a photographer or any business owner, like if you're kind of a naturally introverted like myself, you kind of have to train yourself into being kind of an extrovert or an omnivert. So a great way to do that is just to go out and get used to meeting people and talking to people and, you know, don't stand in the back of the room, like walk around and say hi and, you know, just kind of act like the person you want to become, the extrovert that you need to be. And just, that's a good way to do that, you know, cause there's a cocktail involved usually too.
Yeah. And it's easier for people who struggle with talking to people they don't know, the easiest way to do that I find is to show interest in them. So instead of walking up to them and saying, hey, this is who I am, walk up to them and show interest in them. Like go, hi, my name is so-and-so. So what do you do?
Yeah, you can go, you can spend 100% of your time networking, like never even really talking about yourself. Just get good at asking questions. Like, hi, how are you? What do you do? Like, you know, all those things. Asking questions is a really good way to show interest in other people, funnily enough. So get good at asking questions. And, you know, we connect as humans, like on a human personal level. So don't lead with your with your marketing pitch, with your elevator pitch or whatever. I mean, elevator pitches are good, but you know, don't lead with business, lead on a personal level. And that's how you're going to start creating those connections that are going to bring you money shortly thereafter, hopefully.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense, Mr. Collier.
Well, you know, I try.
You're good. You're good at this coaching stuff. This is good. You're a good coach. So where can people go to find out more about you?
Well, my my website for my headshot business is denverheadshots.com. My business is called Tommy Collier Productions. It's very creative. The productions part is left over from my production business that I have yet to rebrand and change. But so denverheadshots.com for that. And then my coaching business, you can find me at colliersuccess.coach or colliersuccess.com. And that's C-O-L-L-I-E-R. success.com.
There you go. And all of those, both of those links will be available in the description of this week's podcast. All right. Awesome. I want to thank Tommy. I want to thank you because this was amazing.
Well, thank you, Pedro. This has been fun.
I'm glad.
Honored to be the first person talking on this thing.
Do you understand that in years from now, we will look back and go, this is where it all started. You and me.
Oh my gosh, you're probably right.
Right? When we're both
right.
Unbelievably rich.
I know, right? And we just met for the first person or for the first time in person too. And that was a magical experience, if I may say.
Yes. I'm still feeling a little hangover from Tommy. Tommy.
I need more Pedro.
There you go. So me and Tommy just met at the first ever Headshot Mania conference. Wow, 2008 is the year of the first ever.
18, buddy.
2008. Well, so 2008 was also a good year, but 2018 is starting amazingly. So we just had the first ever Headshot Mania. Tommy was an instructor there.
Phenomenal.
I saw your class, by the way. It was very good. It was very educational. People got a lot of
it. Thanks. It was my first time like public speaking, like really. So it was kind of, it was a new experience for me too.
All right. No, it was great. I loved it. All right, man. Thank you very much for.
Of course. Thank you.
For being on. And I will talk to you soon. All right.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Hey, thanks. Talk to you later.
All right. That's it. I want to thank Tommy for being here with me. Tommy, as you can tell, Tommy's like, he knows this stuff. He knows what he's talking about. So if you're ready for success and you want some success in your life, which I'm sure you do, who doesn't, right? Get in touch with Tommy and join the crew too. He's in there. He's got his coaching going. He's a mentor in the Headshot crew. This guy is an amazing human being. Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. I will talk to you guys next week. I already have a great guest coming up. So make sure you stay tuned and have a great week. All right, bye.